The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, from the Department of English, it's Professor Heather Hill Vasquez.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. Did you enjoy your pistachios?
I did. I love pistachios.
They're quite delicious, actually.
Does everybody know that Harper Lee passed away?
Yes.
Okay.
Very sad. Very
Harper
sad.
Lee, yeah. And Tony Phillips, too.
Oh, yeah. Former Tigers, second base.
Utility player.
Okay, utility player.
From what generation?
90s? 94?
Not too long ago. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, I felt as an English professor, I should... And as somebody who teaches that book.
I'm not sure how much control or input she had in her senility in the publication of that book manuscript.
Go Set a Watchman.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Pretty sad.
It's a very interesting read.
Oh, you read it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because just a lot of people who I knew just loved To Kill a Mockingbird were just like, this tarnishes this, unfortunately, and I don't like this book. And
well, but when she has created an ideal to be willing, just for the sake of publication... to do something else that presents something far less than that ideal, mm-hmm. in fact, in contradiction in
contradiction.
Some aspects of it, just seemed kind of odd that that was a purely voluntary, or if it was a purely voluntary mm-hmm. decision on her part.
Yeah, that is questionable. I mean, Atticus Finch is just quite different in Go Set a Watchman. So.
Right.
Well, he was a much less developed character, for one thing, at that point in her life.
But I will always have a crush on Gregory Peck as Atticus Finch.
He did a great job.
We've lost a lot of great famous individuals this year. Professor Kendra Evans is here from Chemistry and Biochemistry.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
For a second, I thought you had brought treats for everybody or something.
That would have been nicer of me, but instead I just picked up some exams from the library.
Got it. Wow, you got a lot of other exams.
Oh, this is 4 out of 7.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. That they have to have special arrangements to take?
No, these are for students who need extra time or have a documented.
These four?
Through the learning center.
These four, and then I had 3 athletes that missed. When you have a class, when you have a total of, what do I have this term? It's around 90. It just increases the odds that you're going to have.
Yeah, I've gotten more than usual this term, more students that need to take them over in the learning center. Mm-hmm. Student Success Center, excuse me.
Exactly. Oh, they renamed it? Sorry.
They did, the Student Success Center. Yes. But they don't call it that. They call it the Learning Center still.
Well, that's because, old habits.
I have to call it the
Culture shift.
That's right.
Need to take place.
We've heard the voice already of Professor Jim Tubbs from Religious Studies.
How unfortunate for you. I'm here.
That's cool. Did you just get out of Council of Chairs and things like that?
Yes, we had a Council of Chairs meeting this afternoon.
That's why he's wearing a tie and pants.
Oh, okay.
No, just the pants. Oh, okay. The tie's another reason.
I heard Stephanie got chair of biology.
Oh, she did.
Yes.
Yay. Greg was always planning to step down this year.
That's great.
No kidding.
And we might be able to get with Greg Grabowski back on the show. It's been almost 10 years since he's been on.
With joy, he announced that he was stepping down to all people throughout the year.
Who would listen? Or
people were listening.
Oh, that's amazing. That's great. Good for her.
Yes, but Jim, however, continues to chair the Department of Religious
Studies. I continue to chair. Well, I'm perfectly willing to step down. It's just that there's not somebody else that's willing to step up at this point.
Oh, my.
And we were going over at today's meeting this long new list of things that are the responsibilities of the department chair, and it's... The way it's phrased makes it look really scary. And I'm saying, I'm never going to get anybody to take this job if I show them this.
Oh, my gosh.
All straws.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Russian roulette.
Someone who I've already seen a couple times today, Professor Jason Roach from Communication Studies.
This is probably the most fun meeting we have all week,
isn't
it?
It's true, though.
Absolutely.
It's true.
By far.
Yes.
This meeting or the Council of Chairs?
Oh, no. This particular
Believe
meeting.
Me, this meeting.
Yes.
This gathering.
Matthew is 7 years old, and he asked me, Uncle Jay, what do you do when you're bored? And I said, you know what? I'm never really bored. And then I thought, unless I'm in a meeting.
I'm already in a meeting. Yeah. I'm already there.
Exactly.
The only a meeting you can't be bored at is the one you have to run yourself.
Oh, yeah.
That does happen.
No, I can get bored in those, too. And have.
Oh, my, I love it. Now, here's a man who has many meetings with just himself and enjoys being essentially, I mean, self-employed.
But,
Dan Maggi.
Hi. I'm doing great. Thanks for asking.
How you doing,
I didn't
Dan?
Let you even ask. But the problem with meetings for me and being a remote employee is it's on the phone. And you have your screen and your extra screen next to you. So if you have to sit there for 2 hours, I hope nobody from my organization is listening. My attention span for just audio is really bad. So, you know, I'll go over to Facebook or I'll get something on the screen and then I'll hear my name and I'll say, could you repeat that? There was interference. So it can be hard. It can be very challenging just to sit there and just to listen for 2 hours straight without having something in front of
you. Some stimulus.
It's, I'm a visual learner.
It's a different kind of pain.
I was in a webinar yesterday about Yik Yak, right? Mm-hmm. The Title IX. Right. Yeah. And it went on for over an hour. And everyone in the room was either on their laptop or texting or on Facebook or maybe even on Yik Yak. Yeah. I'm on Yik Yak while I'm listening about Yik Yak.
That's pretty meta. Pretty meta.
Yeah, it was very meta.
To my left, to finish out the roundabout the table, it's Professor Dave Chow from the College for Creative Studies.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
How are things?
So far, so good. My conferences are usually Skyped, so I at least have to be presentable.
And then
waist on up.
From the waist up.
He made a motion just from mid-chest to the top of his head.
You don't have to wear pants, though.
No, not all.
You have to wear a shirt, maybe a tie.
Not all. You can dunk it. But I agree with Dan. Those audio ones are horrific.
Mm-hmm. Heather just said that you can Donald duck it.
You've been looking.
He has no
pants.
You've
been looking. Well.
You know, my favorite commercials for ESPN are those ones with John Clayton where he's giving his NFL football report in his suit. And then when he's off the air, he throws off this cardboard suit, lets down his hair out of the ponytail, and he's got a Slayer shirt on underneath.
Oh, my gosh.
John Clayton, the man who looks like, who's that one Looney Tunes character, the little egghead? Foghorn Leghorn.
Oh, Foghorn Leghorn.
Yes, the little egghead.
I do declare.
Yes.
Well, folks, this is a program. You can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. And if you don't stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmrc.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmrc.edu/atp. You can tweet at us using @AskTheProfUDM or #AskTheProfUDM on Twitter or find us on Facebook. We have got an interesting set of questions here. They were submitted by someone who wishes to be known as Old Man Winter. And not surprisingly...
Well, that's not somebody I want to hear from.
It's true.
Although today it's nice.
It's very nice today.
It's blustery as all get out, though.
That's true.
It's 50-some degrees outside.
Mm-hmm. We have some facts about the season of winter.
Did the groundhog see his shadow?
Yeah, no.
He did not.
No.
I don't trust that little critter.
Little prognosticator himself.
Beady eyes.
Fuck teeth. Yes. Didn't he bite the mayor of Punxsutawney when you
were... Yeah, he did. I would too if he held me like that.
Oh, no. Leave me in my box.
So weird.
Every winter on planet Earth, how many snowflakes fall? Here's a hint. It's a very large number. Anywhere on the surface of Earth.
6.1 times 10 to the 20th.
I knew you were going to do like 10 to the 20th.
25.
It says it's 1 septillion.
Wow.
So that's times 10 to the 24th power. And you were, within.
I did almost go to Avogadro's number, but I wasn't sure.
If you had said 10 to the 23rd, it is a lot of snowflakes.
That is.
And who counts these?
Yeah, how do they determine?
Somebody.
Is it the elves at the North Pole? It is, isn't it?
It is.
I knew it.
Yeah, they do.
Buddy
they do.
The elf.
Is it snowflake?
It's the penguins at the North Pole and the polar bears at the South Pole. Winter cold kills more than how many Americans by multiplicative factor than summer heat does?
Oh, my goodness.
Winter cold. Five times more.
Not five times more. A little bit lower.
Three.
Two.
Two and a half.
Two. Twice as many. Twice as many as summer heat kills. Very interesting. The southern hemisphere typically has milder winters than the north. Why is this so?
Because the ocean is larger?
There's more ocean? You hit it right on the head. I mean, they have less land.
The water keeps it warmer.
Yeah, there's more water. More water moving. Yep, that's exactly it.
I wonder if they have ocean effect snows. Like we have lake effect snows.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Probably do,
down at the bottom of
how does that work with salt
Argentina,
water?
They should.
I wonder.
It's different. It's different. Because salt helps the water stay in its liquid form and not evaporate.
So. Colligative properties.
Is there a video for that?
Yeah. I hope so. I'm going to make it up right now, actually.
There is.
On YouTube later today.
Well, it seems counterintuitive. Earth, as a planet, is closest by distance to the sun during what month?
February.
July.
December.
No, it's December.
December?
Even though the winter solstice is the shortest day of the year, Earth is actually closest to the sun in December. It's the angle of the sun's rays.
Yeah, if you were in Buenos Aires in right. December, yeah, you would feel it. Notice. Or Johannesburg.
Yes. This is just got to get... this is bananas. According to the Guinness Book of World Records, 28 January 1887, so dear old UDM would only be about 10 years old there, the largest single snowflake on record fell in Fort Keogh, Montana.
Oh.
How many inches wide and thick was this single flake?
Say 2 inches wide.
I say 4 inches wide and 2 inches thick.
It says 15 inches wide and 8 thick.
That was not one snowflake.
No. Whoever was up there with the revolver wand, yeah.
It was Elsa.
I do not even know what to say about that.
I find that impossible to believe.
Yeah, that would hurt. God.
Yeah, if that landed on your nose, it would be wet for a while.
That could feed a family of 8.
You see, Dan, it's a big knife.
Let's carve the snowflake.
Carve the flake.
So was that mass?
Sugar on snow. Sugar on snow. Maple syrup on it.
Flint could use some of that.
It's like a 7-Eleven Slurpee, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just about.
It's not real.
Was that factored into the number of snowflakes calculations?
I'm sure. I don't know.
That's an outstanding question.
Because that could have been millions.
That could have been all Avogadro's number in one snowflake.
That is right.
Chiono or chionophobia is the persistent fear of being trapped by...
ice?
An avalanche?
Meetings?
Close enough.
Snow?
Oh, yeah. Snow. Oh. Being trapped by snow.
I thought it was like cheers meetings. Poor Jim's got the fear.
So, specifically, Google searches for what peak in early summer and specifically around winter holidays, end of year holidays. Google searches for what?
Vacations?
Not vacations, no.
Cruises? It's not airline tickets?
Nope.
So, in the middle of summer and at the holidays?
Early summer and around the winter holidays.
Snowshoes.
Days of vacation left?
Nope.
Wedding stuff.
Sure.
You're getting warmer with wedding stuff.
Baby stuff.
Birthdays?
Nope. What if you're aiming towards a wedding? What might you look up?
Sales?
Your
engagement rings?
Were they registered?
I didn't hear Jason.
Engagement rings?
No. We actually need to go a couple steps back.
Divorces. Oh.
Dates.
eHarmonyandMatch.com. eHarmonyandMatch.com. Peek around those
times. That makes good sense. Yeah. Right. The holidays.
I thought it was April, though, that a young man's fancy was supposed to turn to thoughts of love.
Go in April, but by the time we actually get off the couch and enter Match.com.
Some people are not as slow as you are,
Jason. That's all.
Oh, my gosh. Winter road maintenance on average for each United State.
So Michigan would be at the lowest of the disaster.
Probably.
Right. Okay.
Not happening.
Accounts for what percentage of the State Department of Transportation maintenance budget?
Wow.
55.
13%.
I mean, I feel like I got to give it to Dan. It's 20%. 55 is a little high, but it is a big, big
20%.
Chunk of what we got to do.
Not here.
I wonder how much they spend on salt around here.
It's like 50% here because they don't spend much in the
sun. Too much.
Yeah. Of course, they mine it nearby, so that helps.
Right. Can't wait for that big old stretch of 75 to go. Down into the dumps for the entire summer this year. Should be great. Right by my house.
Waste of money.
Oh, that's happening this year?
Mm-hmm.
It's like 10 mile all the way to 16. Is that what it's going to be? So
I go the other direction. So
yeah.
I go exactly that direction.
Have to find an no, wasn't it going to go up to Square Lake?
Will eventually.
Oh, maybe. Eventually. I'm sorry. Eventually. Maybe.
Why don't they put that money into transit system instead of promoting cars on roads?
More cars, yes.
This is a motor city.
Do I get a chance to tell them that I don't want my tax money to go to that like other people don't want their tax money to go to something?
You write that up as an angry letter while we take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback. 1988.
The University of Detroit presents Ask the Professor, the radio program on which you match wits with University of Detroit professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Edmund DeWint, and today we have three of our regulars with us. On my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, Professor George Pickering.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Pleasure to have you here, as always. On his right, from the Department of History, Professor Sarah Gravel.
Hi.
Hello, yes, that's right. And on Sarah's right, from the Department of Performing Arts and Theater, Professor Arthur Beer.
How'd you do, Edwin?
Oh, gee, who is he today?
I'll just read a lovely article about Australia.
The questions for today, all of which are Bert Tilly questions, have been culled from something like 340,000 of them that he has sent in over the last 6 months. For what cartoon did Donald Duck win his first Oscar? 1942 was the year.
The Donald Duck movies had names?
Yes.
Well, yes. I'd forgotten that.
That old canard?
No.
The Farmer Takes a Wife.
No, it had to do with the war.
Oh, yeah. They sell it now in the video stores, and you see him wearing his little helmet.
That's right.
Okay.
And there was a
song. It's called Donald Duck Uncovered.
No,
it's called Duck Uncovered. Of course.
It's called, I know it. It's called The Ducks of War.
The Ducks of War.
We are back with some questions about winter, from winter. We're covering them all very, very well. The average snowflake falls at what mile per hour speed?
Three.
Three is exactly
no.
what it has.
Dude,
here.
Wow,
high
that
five.
Is so
miles
good.
However, the one tail of this winter around here, right, has been these squalls.
Yes.
They come out of nowhere. And
they blow
like
50 miles.
And they're horizontal.
Sideways.
Oh, man, that's crazy.
Yeah. Does that take into effect the acceleration due to gravity closer to the Earth?
Gravity, as always,
remains
constant.
Where's the physics professor here, though?
I know. Where's Prasad?
We need him. It gains velocity at the same rate.
There's a lot of air resistance to them in coming down, so they don't really speed up that much.
But there's a lot of...
I'm also out there with a hairdryer, too, so...
Plus Dave with a hairdryer.
10 inches of snow will melt down to how many inches of pure water?
One.
1 inch, yes. It's about a tenth. That's why it's always better to get snow.
Mm-hmm.
The largest snowman ever built, according to the Guinness Book of World Records, was how many feet tall?
15 feet.
34.
Just going by the last answer.
20 feet tall.
No. Let me tell you, it's a lot bigger than 80 feet.
So I'm going to say 60.
It's bigger than 80.
Bigger than 80?
175 feet tall.
113 feet.
Oh, so a snowman?
A snowman.
Yeah,
113. That's
you guys start rolling now.
Oh. Yeah.
Do you want to build a
How many neighborhoods did they mow down? Get
Does it say how big the base was?
It says it was built in Bethel, Maine in February 1999. This snowman broke the previous record held by Yamagata, Japan at 96 feet. Okay. So it annihilated that record.
Well,
holy smokes.
Well,
bigger than the Stay Puft Marshmallow
Man?
Feet.
Bigger. You have to have a big base.
It would be about the size of the Stay Puft.
Yes, it's true. Bismarck, North Dakota, holds the record for the most snow angels being made by humans at one time. On February 17th, 2007, several elementary schools joined together to create how many snow angels at once?
2,100.
300.
It is bigger than 300.
I mean, after all, what else is there to do in Bismarck?
I'm going to say around 1,000.
She's calculating.
Bigger
she's going to jump
thousand.
In.
Go
ahead.
How big are these elementary schools?
Did you hear the 2,100 guess that he gave?
2,100 was a little low.
Oh, really?
32,000
schools around there.
What was it, Ken?
32.
23,000? No, it's 2,300. 2,300.
Yeah,
no, I said 3,000 is what I had said.
I hear 25,000. Do I hear 26? Gotta get a 27.
26.
Good Lord.
The final answer is 8,962 snow angels.
That's a lot of kids.
8,000.
A lot of elementary schools.
I think each kid made more than one snow angel.
Kendra, we
at the same time?
In the same sitting or standing or lying or whatever.
Oh.
What does seasonal lag refer to? I've become obsessed with this principle over the last 5 years. I'm just going to put that out there. Seasonal lag.
Me getting out of bed in the winter.
Yeah, it's too warm. I don't want to get out.
Sorry. That is not the true definition of seasonal lag.
My cable slowing down? What?
Nope.
Seasonal lag.
Does that have to do with lack of sun?
This is part of it. What I want you to think about is the calendar.
Oh,
it's turned into spring and people still think it's winter?
I mean, basically, that's it. I mean, meteorologically, let's say December is a winter month, even though it only has approximately 7 days of winter technically in it.
Do you know where I learned that?
on this show.
Oh. Wow.
We had that question. Remember?
We had winter
goes from December 21st to March 21st.
Even though,
but even meteorologically, December, January, February.
But in Detroit, it starts in October.
This show can help you learn.
We're educational now?
Yes, I think we might be.
Yeah, like a Republican primary debate.
What are we, educational entertainment?
No one's been hit yet.
Yes.
Well, the truth is the climate has changed enough since the transition from the Julian to the Gregorian calendar to have this lag be a regular part of our lives now. So technically cold weather comes at the end of November.
I do feel like lag is a regular part of my life now.
Yes, it is. Jet, seasonal.
Especially in the winter.
Get out of bed lag.
So the beginning of March is considered spring meteorologically, but spring technically doesn't start until March 21st.
Yes, that is true. But you won't see the spring actually come until April.
Yeah, tell that to the Tigers.
Well, I mean, look at all the baseball games that are scheduled for lunchtime or like 4 o'clock during April because they're like, oh, we don't want to turn the lights on and the sun's going down. A single regular-sized snowstorm, wow. I mean, we've had a lot of superlatives in numbers here. Can drop how many million tons of snow? A regular-sized snowstorm. How
in
many million
area?
Tons?
Yeah,
it's not really... I mean, we're just going to have to guess here.
Okay, old man winter, get it together.
I mean, like, you know, there's some snowstorms that are like all of Manitoba, aren't there?
Yeah, exactly. I was born in one.
I would say 150,000.
It says 39 million tons of
Whoa.
Snow.
Sure.
The regular snowstorm can drop.
I hope it doesn't
Maybe
land
I
in
can,
a compressed
then
area. I hope Detroit doesn't get one of those.
Please. I warned the students today. I said, I know you see 55. If you go out there in your little flip-flops and your shorts and start throwing a frisbee around, it's your fault if we get dropped a bunch of snow next week. Speaking of dropping snow, the most snow ever recorded in a 24-hour period in the United States was at Silver Lake, Colorado in 1921. How many inches?
55.
78.
Oh, I'm going to say way over 100.
Actually, giving it to Dave, 76 inches of snow. Yay. 76 inches of snow. That
that's
is
how
a
much?
Lot.
That's ridiculous.
24 hours.
That's
a lot. Several feet.
Yeah, that's
several feet.
I still remember as a kid, my dad having
a that is. It's out. A complete whiteout. Feet. Yeah. I mean, it's just like
it's taller than most of us.
Get 6 feet of snow.
Pretty crazy.
It's so fluffy, I could die.
That would be a real surprise when you open your front door, wouldn't it?
No, Jim. That happened to us when we were kids.
Really?
Yeah. The snowdrift came covered the front door. I remember my dad had to tunnel ourselves out.
Wow.
Interesting. Whiteout. That's all.
It was awesome. Jeez. We had the same thing.
Yeah.
So did I.
Snow covers the door and you just kind of...
Northern Vermont, you know.
It's fun.
Northern New York State.
Don't want to do it as an adult, but, you know, we'll be okay. We'll make it work.
The worst death toll in United States history for a winter storm occurred in what was called the Great Blizzard of 1888 in the Northeast. For the record, listen to the date. March 11th to the 14th. The blizzard dropped 50 inches of snow in parts of New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and Massachusetts. It blocked roads, wiped out telephone, telegraph, and rail service for weeks. It was responsible for over 400 deaths and sank 200 ocean-going vessels. New York and Boston created what as a result of the Great Blizzard of 1888?
The 50% off Macy's sale.
They all must go. No, their Underground Railroad?
The subway system, yep.
That was a bad choice. That was a poor choice to describe it. What do they call it? The T?
The T.
The T.
The T.
Yeah. So I knew what you meant, though, Dan. I didn't think you meant the runaway.
I meant the railroad that goes underground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The subway.
The first Winter Olympics were held in Chamonix, France in 1924. No country from where has ever hosted or even been an applicant to host the Winter Olympics.
No country.
Africa?
Where? Not Africa.
Antarctica?
Not Antarctica.
Australia?
Nope.
You'd think Antarctica would have a great team.
No country from where?
Asia?
No, I think you guys are being too general. We need to be even, or not general enough.
The Philippines have never hosted?
Well, that may be true.
Southeast Asia.
Yeah. No country from the Southern Hemisphere has ever even been an applicant to host the Winter Olympics, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Why couldn't Australia host it? There's some snowy places in Australia.
Oh, yeah. You have to go a long way to get to
them. New Zealand would have it.
Yeah, New Zealand would, but you'd be going way up there to get to them.
My cousin from Australia is the best skier I've ever met. He was teaching the instructors how to do the black diamond slaloms. So
So there are areas where...
When he comes to New York, he teaches the people
there. The problem
there.
Is those areas are not close to any cities that have the capacity
exactly,
to
host a whole
to be the host.
Olympic Village.
Crazy.
But they also, as we heard earlier, have milder winters overall than Northern Hemisphere countries
yep,
do.
Yep, that's right.
And plus, having the Winter Olympics in July might seem a little odd to a lot of the... Oh. Since most of the population is in the Northern Hemisphere. Right.
What percentage of Earth's land surface is covered by snow and ice? Land surface.
22.
Nope, it's a little high.
Oh, 13.
18.
12. 12%.
12%.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, probably getting less by the day, too.
I believe that that must be true in some way, shape, or form. Yep.
Did I tell you guys last week I got a phone call from my cousin, and they actually had hail for the second time in the village in over 50 years.
In China?
In China.
Aye,
from where my family's from.
Wow.
Second time ever.
Wow. That's indicative of...
It's just a little freaky weather. So.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, well, freaky weather is just sort of springing out everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Who was not the first user, but arguably a great popularizer of the word Snowmageddon when two blizzards in 2010 struck during the Democratic National Committee's winter meetings?
Sonny Elliott?
No.
Darn.
Was it somebody from the Weather Channel?
When was
nope.
it? 2010?
2010.
Snowmageddon.
Chris Matthews.
Someone who was using the word a lot.
It's got to be a media pundit.
I would go a little higher ranked
it's
than
a
that.
News, it's a news
the
guy.
The president?
It was Barack Obama who popularized the phrase Snowmageddon.
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 Well, he would know Chicago.
Yes, he would. That is absolutely true.
Auditioning for a job as a pundit after his term. Is that it?
Okay, let's see. The coldest temperature ever recorded on the surface of the Earth was at Vostok Station, Antarctica, in 1983 in Celsius.
Oh, why does it have to be Celsius?
Why does it have to be Celsius?
Be thankful it's not Kelvin.
Temperature.
Minus
54.
Minus 75.
No, no. Minus 120.
Minus 123 degrees Celsius.
Whoa.
That is cold.
Mm-hmm. Whoa, that'd be nippy on your nose. Mm-hmm.
That's all. Well, no, let's not get cold in politics
that?
Now. So,
what was their thermometer?
They throw water out there and see if it leaves the bucket.
Does it freeze before it leaves the boiling pot?
Yeah, exactly.
Or if you can get a boiling pot.
Oh, man. I just remember.
It's so cold, the fire froze.
Two years ago, they had the boiling water, and they were throwing it in the air so it would crystallize, and people were burning their faces off.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's so crazy. You know, many insects prepare for winter by creating their own antifreeze. They generate a lot of glycerol, which gives their body sort of a super cooling ability, and they go hibernation. Even though there are several insects, although not a lot, that migrate. What would you say is the most spectacular insect migration in
monarch butterflies?
Monarch butterflies. Okay. Yep, absolutely.
Or Jim Tubbs.
Another shout out to colligative properties.
Oh, another shout out. Absolutely. We're going to do our research on colligative properties, but first we're going to have to say goodbye, Professor Chow.
See ya.
Just put a bunch of
pistachios in my mouth. Oh, lovely timing.
Sorry. Professor Dan.
Goodbye.
Professor Jason.
Ciao.
Professor Jim.
Bye.
Professor Kendra.
Toodaloo.
Professor Heather.
La-di-da.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter @AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and directed today, technically, by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mile.